Hey ladies, what's up? And thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Woman Intentionally podcast. You ladies are in for a treat today because I have the career expert and coach, Ashley Cash, joining me on the podcast today. She's going to be giving you ladies some tips on how you can be more intentional about making career moves that are going to set you up for success, promotions, and raises. We're going to talk about some of those attitudes that get us in trouble and how we can avoid them and keep climbing that ladder of promotions and the things that we want to lead to success. Let's jump right into this podcast. Thank you so much for joining the Woman Intentionally podcast. How you doing today, girl?
Girl, I'm so good. Thank you for having me. Super excited to be here with you.
Yes, I'm so excited to have you too. And I think that this is so important for me to do because I am active duty Army, so I really don't have a lot of information and guidance for my ladies who are trying to live intentional lives, but they work a 9-to-5 career other than military. So I think that you are going to be able to really bring a lot of insight to my listeners, and I'm just excited to have you.
Awesome. Well, let's do it.
All right, girl. So we can just get started by you telling everybody a little bit about yourself, where you're from, where you are now, and what you do and how you got into it.
Yeah, very cool. So I am, gosh, let's see, what am I not, right? So wife, mom, I work a corporate career gig, and then I also own my own business. So I'm a interview and salary negotiation coach. And what I do is I help smart professional women get hired and get paid. So I do that through coaching. So this is where I work with you one-on-one to help you reach your goals. I have a group coaching program to where we basically meet your goals through community environment. And I'm also a speaker. So I wear lots of hats. I have lots of ministries, but obviously being a wife and mom is the first one. And then, you know, really helping women ask for and earn what they're worth is something that is like super important to me. I think you asked where I'm from and all that jazz. So I was born in Arkansas, grew up in Memphis, Tennessee, and then have lived in Dallas. I know, right? Memphis stand up. but I have lived in Dallas, Texas for the last almost 10 years. So how I got into coaching, specifically on the interview and salary side, were kind of like one part my own career. I kind of figured out kind of early on how to really climb the ladder and how to really ask for and earn what I felt like I was worth. For the majority of my corporate career, I have been in leadership and management, senior management, hiring, firing teams, like making offers. And over the years, you know, you just start to really notice that the candidates who came in and got the job and got what they asked for, which I won't say all the time, but a lot of times it would be men, I would notice that they would come in super confident, super, you know, ready to tell what they could do, you know, sometimes put a little extra on it, you know, whatever. Right. And then when it came to the money part of it, had no reservations whatsoever about asking for what felt like the moon, right? So sitting on the other side of the table, I was like, you know what? If more women knew what they needed to do to come in and knock an interviewer's socks off and then be able to ask for exactly what they want rather than feel shy about it, like, I was like, I know how this works, and I need to give people the game. I need to show women how to ask for and earn what they're worth. And so I had my own success. I'd seen it in corporate. I heard the conversations. I knew how decisions got made. And so I was like, you know what, I'm gonna just start. And I think for me, that's probably the biggest lesson of all, was that it was something that I'd always had a heart for and wanted to do. And so I just started doing it.
Right. And that is so cool. And it's like being innovative, you know, so you see that there's a need, you start to realize that there's this gap there. Kudos to you for being able to identify that need and figuring out a way to, you know, provide access to it for women out here trying to really get it and be intentional, right?
Absolutely.
We'll just jump right into questions. What's one of the biggest struggles that you see when you work with women?
Yeah, so you know what? It is not most of the clients that I end up working with, I think, fall into probably one of two categories. One is confidence. I'm not talking about women who would walk around and be like, oh, I have low self-esteem or something like that. I'm not talking about people that need to be built up in that way, but more so people that just need a little bit of confidence and affirmation in their magic and what they bring to the table. Like that they need to just be kind of reminded of, wow, I have done all these cool things and I do need to feel confident and not, you know, modest or humble or whatever, or shy about right. speaking up about it and, you know, talking about myself in a way that connects me to opportunities. Every woman I've ever worked with in her own right has been dope. I mean, it's like, I look at some of the resumes, I look at some of the women I work with and I'm like, wow, you know, you have done a lot, but they just don't always see it that way. Or the other category that my clients fall into is fear. And again, same woman who is accomplished, educated, experienced, highly skilled, and sometimes they're just afraid to put themselves out there, or they've been gun shy, or they've been in an organization for years and years and years where they have been undervalued and underappreciated and underpaid, to where it's like they're now afraid to kind of step out and see what else is out there, put themselves out there, because they've sort of been beat down for so long. But it's really about, girl, like, let's get the stories that you're going to tell, the narrative that you're going to frame yourself as. Let's get that together. And let's practice you saying that with confidence and really going in there and creating value for yourself. I very rarely work with someone who's struggling in their career, so to speak. It's more about how do we position you to earn and maximize what you're worth.
Right. Okay. So what are the main reasons you think women aren't getting the money or the positions they potentially could? I know you, that kind of ties into what you just said about the fear or the confidence, but is there anything else that you usually see in there that kind of amplifies that fear that they have?
Absolutely. And like, let me be super clear, because I kind of hate when people like make it seem like, for example, we all know that there is a wage gap for women. Asian women earn the most compared to men. Asian women earn about, I think, 84 cents, where I think white women earn about 81 cents for every dollar a man makes. Black women or women of color earn about 61 cents for every dollar a white man earns. And then our Latina and Native American sisters earn less than that. So there is a wage gap and subsequent wealth gap for women, specifically women of color, that is systematic in nature. So it is not a matter of confidence or fear, or women don't ask, or women don't know how to go in and nail an interview. It is not that. There are systematic things in place that prevent us from earning what we're worth. So that's important for me to say, and that's a big part of what fuels the work that I do, because women, we are the bedrock of society and of our homes. And, you know, for women of color, for us, for women who are leading their homes, there's a big impact there. When you're not earning what you're worth, or you're earning less than you should, and you're head of household, that trickles down in a lot of ways into our communities, our education, what our children have access to. But separate from that, when we talk about the things that we have control over, couple things I think that I have seen throughout my own career and with clients that sometimes keep us from earning what we really deserve is loyalty. Yeah. And I love that about us. I have a very loyal heart too.
Yeah.
But sometimes loyalty costs us. Loyalty and or comfort costs us real dollars. And what I mean by that is, just because you've been at a company for a number of years or worked for, you know, a certain manager for a number of years, that does not mean that organization or that boss is going to look out for you like you are. And sometimes you have to say, you know what, I will not trade, you know, my family, my livelihood, what I'm worth, to just stay at a company that I feel loyal to or that I feel comfortable with. And so if you're not getting the promotions or the visibility where you're at, you cannot be afraid to say, you know what, I'm out. I'm going to take my talents to South Beach. I'm going to go to a company or organization that values me, where, you know, they're going to pay me what I'm worth. And the other thing that I see oftentimes, sometimes can be a matter of making your request known. If you don't speak up and say to your boss, you know, I am interested in leadership, or I am interested in promotional opportunities, let's create a plan together. You know, I'm I've done research on my salary. It looks like I'm being paid under market value. How do we close that gap? If we're not the ones looking out for ourselves and making our request known, you can't expect someone to do it for you.
Right. And that's so good that you said that, because I never even thought about that. Even being in the military, and of course, we're outnumbered as women, but the breakdown, just to see the big difference, 61 cents, like 84 cents, that's kind of a big deal, you know, especially like you said, when you are the head of household and you're providing for kids, you know, on your own. I was looking at one of your posts, I think it may have been today or the other day, but you were saying like people were, you know, may have felt a little some type of way about you going and telling them like, hey, I want this, I want to be in this mentorship program, I want it, give it to me, and then you ended up getting it. And so that's another sign of closed mouths don't get fed. I believe that 100%. Like, I'm gonna go in and I'm gonna work hard, but you're gonna know that, hey, I'm here for this, I'm here to do this, and this is what I want. Even in the military. And it does, it gives, there's no way they can, you know what I'm saying, they can say, oh, we didn't know that you would be interested. Nope, I put myself out there. If you don't select me, then that's on you. But at least you know that your girl wants that position and I'm coming for it, you know?
Exactly. That's exactly it. I mean, and I will put on, I slip on sometimes my manager hat, and it's the truth. It's not a matter of like, oh, not always anyway, like someone has a vendetta out against you or they are intentionally overlooking you. But if you have not voiced any sort of interest in, like, exactly like what you said, moving up or, you know, working on a project or wanting an opportunity, people aren't mind readers. I'm not going to chase anybody down. And so, yeah, you do have to get used to and get comfortable speaking up for yourself, like you said, raising your hand, putting yourself out there. And if you don't get chosen or selected for something, not take it personally. Like, take it as an opportunity to say, what can I learn from this? Asking, you know, where did I fall short? Or what did, you know, the people or persons that got selected, you know, what did they have that I didn't? And use that as an opportunity to say, all right, when it's time for the next one, I will be ready.
Right. And like doing self-assessments, man, is so important. On like, what type of employee am I? Like, should I really get it? Compare it to that person that did receive it. Am I, you know, missing the mark on something? I got to step my game up. And that's so important. When we talk about that, like, what are some things that women can do to make sure that they're, you know, remaining competitive?
So let's start with maybe just the promotion piece. You're ready for more responsibility or the next level of projects. I would absolutely recommend kind of going back and looking at some previous like appraisals or evaluations that you've had. And really read through those carefully, read through that feedback, just like what you were saying, and self-assess and say, okay, do I have these gaps, you know, or is this an area where I can improve on, yes or no, and commit to improving. The second thing is equally assess the things that you know that you are good at, like where you are magical and where you are making moves and making an impact for the company. Yeah. I want you to inventory those too. Like, I don't want you to just think, oh, okay, what is it that I lack? I want you to think about, what is it that I have that I do really well that no one else in the company or the department is doing as well as me? Because those are the points that when you go to your boss and you are asking for that thing that you can talk about. You can say, I was the one that, you know, did this big project, or I cleaned up this big mess, or I brought in this big client. And the reason why I bring that up is because, one, obviously that's going to be important to your boss and help you make your case. But what I don't want us to do is default into, what do I lack? What is going to disqualify me? Because, and I'll raise my hand on this, sometimes we have a tendency to do that. Men, I have found, often lead with confidence, whereas women, we lead with competence. So we want to be like, I am 100%, I've checked off all the boxes, and only until I check off all the boxes am I now worthy or eligible or whatever for this next thing. Men don't operate that, including my own husband. It's like, oh no, I know 50% of it. I can do it.
Yeah.
So I want us to be thinking about ourselves that way too. We always have opportunities to improve, but we also always have some things that we know that we do really, really well. And we need to get comfortable talking about that, about scheduling that meeting with your boss. And when you go into that meeting, be prepared, right? Have a clear ask. Don't dance around it. But say, I have done these things. Lay it out for them. This is what I would like. I would like to move to the next level. what needs to happen in order for me to do that, right? And you just make it a straightforward discussion, and then pause and allow your boss to respond. So if they start going down a whole bunch of paths about what, you know, what needs to happen or what your deficiencies are, hear them out and then ask them, okay, can we revisit this conversation in 90 days or 60 days? Don't just let them, you know, walk you out of there with like a, well, it's a no right now. You know, press and continue the conversation until either one, it happens, or two, you get to a point or recognize that it may not be happening in this organization and maybe I need to start thinking of, you know, somewhere else.
Right. I also wanted to ask, what do you say to women that are too cheap to invest in themselves? So I read one of your blogs and it was called The DIY Career Mindset. And it was so funny to me. And like, I found myself in that place before really becoming more intentional about what I wanted to do and trying to grow my business. You know, I can find everything free online. I'm just going to research it, you know, and figure it out. But it was a time where I started, and I was even about to invest in one of your classes. And the thing that I respect so much about you, you're like, Whit, you don't need to do this, because maybe because I am active duty with, you don't need to do this, you know, one. You might need one of my power hours, I think it was. Keeping it real, like, you don't need that. I really respect that about you and what you do. But I was at that point too, like, I'm not spending all this money to do this, but what do you have to say to ladies who have that DIY mindset, girl?
Listen, let me go ahead and raise my hand too, because I'm right there with you where, you know, there are some things where you really are like, okay, you know, I can do this. But I think it's a matter of you have to think of it, and you use this word, Whitney, as an investment, right?
Right.
It is about what do you value? It, you know, people will spend their money and their time on things that they find important.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that. We all do that. And so it really becomes a matter of if you look at, you know, working with a coach or an expert or a resume writer or – you know, whatever it is you feel like you need to get to the next level, look at that as an investment, but then also think about how is that going to pay off for me, right? Because like most of the women that I work with, almost all of them, we're seeing probably 10, 20, I've had some 40% increase in their salary after they've worked with me. So the little, and I'll use little loosely, but to them, after they get that offer, after they get multiple offers, and they're like, oh, wow, you know, I just increased my salary by 20%. I just hit the $100,000 income bracket. Like, oh, girl, that wasn't nothing when I paid you, you know. But on the at the beginning, they were like, oh, wait, how much, you know? So it's an investment because it gives you a return. And so that is what I would say to anyone listening out here who's in a career where they feel undervalued, underappreciated, underpaid, and they are on their own investing time, energy, frustration, right? Because you're investing something, but you're not getting a return on that time. It may be time to put some dollars into that investment and see if you get a return there. Now, you don't have to just go with the first person. If you don't get a vibe, if you don't see, you know, receipts or testimonials or, you know, they're a resume writer, but half their stuff is misspelled, don't invest there.
Right.
But you're investing something. You're either going to invest your time, money, and frustration, or time and frustration, or you're going to invest, you know, your money and get a return.
So it's really like investing in mentorship because you don't know everything. You have some areas that you told me to work on. What is your vision? How would you say this to someone? And you'd be like, girl, that sounds a little commercially. Now, try it again. It was so good. Like, you're right. And then I was coming up with this stuff, and I'm like, Ashley, this is amazing. And you'd be like, girl, you know, you came up with it. I'm just helping you bring it out. So just having feedback was so awesome. And I'm just like, man, this is what I needed, because I couldn't get that that firsthand feedback, you know, before putting myself out there. So it helps you feel more confident in what you're doing and really think about being intentional when you're presenting yourself. So for my military ladies that may be listening as well, just to recap on that, you know, asking, going in confident with what you've done, that's the same thing we have to do in the Army. Every year we have a non-commissioned officer evaluation form. They don't want any fluff. Like, I did this, I increased this percentage of what you're doing all year. And that's the way that they promote us. Say, hey, you know, compared to this person who only increased something by 5%, Sarn Kilgore over here increased it by 20%. We're going to promote her. And so if mm-hmm. I'm not intentional about laying out and writing out what I have done and my accomplishments throughout the year, I forget all that stuff. And I'm not able to articulate that to the people who are selecting me for promotion. So it's just as important for us as military women to make sure that we are writing down what we're doing and really articulating that to the people who are, you know, selecting us for promotions and things like that. This is where it really gets real for me, because I have a lot of siblings, I have friends, and I know that attitude is a big part of the workplace. So how important, you being that manager or that person that, you know, is kind of looking at those things, how important is attitude and character in the workplace, girl?
You know, y'all know, anybody listening to this, you already know the answer to this question. You know that attitude is major. Think about your own life. We are naturally drawn to people who we like, who are pleasant, who are easy to work with. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, just think about in your own life, if you've ever gone to the nail salon and the person had a bad attitude, you're like, no, I'm not, you know, I'm not spending any money here. I'm not spending any amount of time here. Same with friends, same with family. Attitude and character absolutely makes a difference. And so you may not necessarily be the most talented person in the room or in the company. And I'll raise my hand and say, I have been in many positions where that was mean, where, you know, I was like qualified to be there, but I wasn't the most qualified person in the room. Yeah. But having a good character, having good work ethic, being easy to work with, and yeah. I don't mean being a doormat, but I just mean your demeanor, right? Like not having a grumpy gust attitude or being quick to get frustrated or count people out goes a long way. It gives you more grace. It helps people overlook, I think, where you might fall short.
Yeah.
So, and that's free. I mean, that's one of those things that's free. Like, you don't have to hire a coach to have a good attitude. Just think about things like that, like your character, your work ethic, your attitude, those intangible things that when somebody is considering you for something, they can say, wow, not only is she talented, but we like working with her. Our clients like working with her. Or think of it this way. You want to be, you know, in leadership. It's like, okay, the person making the decision might be thinking, can I trust or would I feel comfortable putting her in front of, you know, the CEO of the company or my top client? Or are they thinking like, well, I don't want to put her in that position because, you know, she's sudden to pop off at any minute. So, you know, don't disqualify yourself by something as easy as just having a good attitude. And if, then I'll raise my hand on this one too. If you are in a job where you are so over it, mad, grumpy, you know, your whole demeanor is messed up when you pull up to work. Mm-hmm. To me, that is an opportunity for you to recognize that and say, it's time for me to possibly move on. If walking in the door automatically changes your demeanor to having a bad attitude and it's, you know, physically draining for you to wear, you know, put on a smile when you go to work, that could be a sign that it's time to move on rather than you just need an attitude adjustment.
Sometimes a toxic attitude, it creates a toxic environment. And then you have people who won't perform as well because, you know, they don't even want to work with you. So they're not going to give their all. I want to ask about what advice do you have for the women that say they don't pay me enough? You know, they just simply do the bare minimum and still expect promotion. I cannot stand this. This is one thing that frustrates my soul. Like, I don't get paid for that, or they don't pay me enough, but they do the bare minimum. What do you have to say, or, you know, to people who have that type of attitude?
Again, if you are just someone that has that attitude, in your heart of hearts, you know why you're not getting promoted, right? Like, so promotions don't come to people who have just been there the longest. You know, you just get a promotion or you get a pay raise or whatever because you show up every day. That's not the way it works. You were a business owner, okay? So now you're the boss. You're the CEO and owner. You're writing everybody's check. And you had an employee come into work who showed up, did the bare minimum, did what was asked, clocked out and went home. Mm-hmm. Do you think you would be jumping up to say, oh, I can't wait to promote you, you know, into a leadership role? I can't wait to give you a big fat raise and a juicy bonus. Of course you wouldn't. Right. Because a promotion or a raise or a bonus is a reward for not only the work that you do, but the impact that you make to the business. And that's the way we need to think about it. So if you are someone, or if you're in a situation where it's, you are being asked to do over and above what's requested on your job, you can look at this a couple of different ways. One, when that's happened to me, I have always looked at it as this is giving me the opportunity to learn and do something that if I were literally just like, I'm going to come in, do what's in my job description, nothing more, nothing less, mm-hmm. then that's going to keep me where I'm at, right? Because now I haven't learned anything new. I don't know how to do anything new. I literally have no basis to walk into anyone's office and say, I'm ready for the next step or more responsibility. So if you're being given more responsibility, look at that as an opportunity to learn and grow and prove yourself. Now, y'all know I am a salary negotiation coach. So what I'm going to say here is use that, then leverage it. Then go to your boss or whatever and say, I've taken on new responsibility. I've taken on new projects and killed them, by the way. You know, I've improved this process. Used to be two people had to do this job. I figured out a way to make it, you know, doable by one person. Here's the value of that. And, you know, what I think is a good next step would be a promotion or a raise or whatever. So don't look at it just like they don't pay me enough to do it. So that's kind of, you know, one side of that coin. On the flip side, if you're feeling like you are doing the most work and being paid the least and being undervalued, and really the word I want to use here is taken advantage of, that's a little bit of a different conversation, right? That's a conversation where you can go to your boss or leader and say, these are all the things that I'm doing. I'm looking at my peers. I'm looking at, you know, people that maybe outrank me or make more money than me. And I feel like there's a disconnect happening there, you know, and frankly, I am feeling a little bit taken advantage of. You can have that conversation and see, is there opportunity for me to have, you know, an improved title or an improved salary? But if you're just kind of dead minimum, like I'm just going to come in, do what they ask me to do, then leave, then what you are asking the company to do is just meet their obligation to you, which is, you know, provide you a job and a check every 2 weeks or every month or however that works. So you can't have it both ways, you know, and it just doesn't work that way. I've never promoted anybody for like showing up to work and coming in on time every day. Like, just doesn't happen like that.
Right. No, that's such a good way to look at it. You really have to change your perspective, because I've seen people like that and I know people like that, but that's a really good way to just change your mindset. Like, okay, cool. I know y'all want me to do all this extra stuff. Keep writing it down. Like she was just saying, like writing it down and keep note of it. Mindset is a big part of that as well. That's really good, Ash.
Thanks. And the other thing too is, like, I'm just one of those people, I'm just a believer in this way, that it all comes together for our good, right?
Yes.
And so if you think about it like, okay, I've done all this stuff at this company and I wrote everything down and I had that conversation and my boss told me, you know, it's a no, you know, get back to it. Well, you still, they can't take the experience away from you.
Yeah.
So now you can add that to your resume. And as you move on to another organization or whatever, or even heck, start your own thing, right? A lot of the work that I do now with clients, I got that from working in corporate. I got that from being in rooms, hearing how decisions got made or working on projects. And so nobody can take that from me. Whether they want to pay me what I'm worth or not, I have experience that I've gained that I can now use in my own business or if I want to go somewhere else. So with, like you just said, it's all about how you look at it and the mindset.
This question is about resumes. You are a resume guru, so I want to share at least one tip with the ladies about a resume. Like, I know it's important. So what is one tip that you would give ladies working on a resume and trying to improve and be more intentional about their career moves?
Okay, this is for if you have a job. So this is you too, because you're in the military, but you have a job within that. It is the number one thing I want to leave with you guys on this is lead with the things that are most important. So in all of our jobs, everybody has like tasks that they do. You know, it's like, oh, I complete this report or I do this or I do that. And that's all well and good. But when you're writing a resume, you want to be thinking about how do I lead with the skills that I use every single day and what are the results of that? So don't feel like every single task that you do needs to go on the resume. It's really about, okay, what are the skills that I use the most and what are the results from that? So what you just said a second ago, when you guys do your end of year evaluation, you guys write down, you know, all the stuff that you've done and then how much you've increased something or grown something. And that really is what your resume should be. It's not just a list of like, yeah, you know, I make copies sometime, or I sit in these meetings, or I answer the phone. It's like, yeah, that's great, but that's a task. What about, you know, how do you impact the business? How do you help the company make money or save money? That's what needs to go on your resume.
Right. I was just thinking about that too, because with our NCOERs, that form that we fill out at the end of the year, or I teach my soldiers to think about how they're impacting the Army on a strategic level. Like, how do you, exactly, you know, impact your five soldiers that you have? How does the work that you do impact the company that you are part of? And how does what you do, yep, impact the battalion? And just keep going up. Like, people want to know that, oh, well, you turned in all these parts back into the Army system. That saved the Army $250,000 they had to spend again. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
More than, yep, just, oh, parts and drove them over to the, you know, disposition place. So
exactly, with, yeah, you hit the nail on the head. So the task, right, is like, oh, I go gather the parts and I drive them back to the facility where they need to go. Okay, cool, right? But unless you're applying for a job for a part driver and, yeah, picker upper, right, you know, yeah, not a huge and I've never seen a job posting for that, right? No one cares about that part, but what they do, right, care about is that you save the Army $250,000 in 1 year. You one person. So that was an excellent example and explanation of how to format your resume. And if that ends up being, you know, one page, that's fine. Don't feel like it has to be a book, but, yeah, focus on the stuff that is important. Or I like the way you put it, with focus on the impact. Good, yeah, stuff.
So Ashley, go ahead and share with the listeners what services you provide and how they can find out more information about them.
Absolutely. So I have kind of two ways you can work with me. So you can work with me in my group coaching program, which it's called Search to Salary. And it's a 4-week coaching program that will show you everything you need to know from search all the way to landing a salary. So we cover resume, networking, interview prep, and salary negotiation prep. It is jam-packed, but full of great information, and there's a community aspect to it. So not only will you be learning all this important strategies and end up with this amazing resume that I'm going to show you exactly what to say, but you're going to also have a community of like-minded women that you can bounce ideas off of or be encouraged by or even network with. So that's kind of the first way. The second way is I absolutely do one-on-one coaching. Then if you're someone who's like, listen, I got a lot going on, I need someone laser focused on me, you know, I want us to solve specific problems, then you can absolutely work with me one-on-one that way. And to get started, all you have to do, you can check me out on Instagram at Ashley N. Cash, or you can go to my website, ashleyncash.com, and sign up for either service. So it's pretty simple, pretty easy. You can read all about the program and the services. Some client results are on there, and we can get started.
All right, you guys, so I'm going to have that link in the description for this podcast. I have one question I want to ask you, Ashley, before we head out. What is one piece of advice that you would give your younger self, fresh out of high school, ready to pick a career and get after it? What is one piece of advice you would give yourself if you, based on what you know now?
I would say take the limits off, to just go after it, to trust, yeah, in my own greatness. So, heck, that's something I tell my 35-year-old self. Take the limits off.
Take them off. Okay. So thank you so much for joining me on this podcast. I'm sure my listeners have enjoyed. I will be sending them all the information that they need to check you out. And I just really appreciate you sharing your advice and all this great wisdom that you blessed us with on this day on this podcast. And girl, you are the first guest of the Woman Intentionally podcast. Woo, woo.
Woo, woo.
All right, so thank you guys for listening, and you already know where you can find Ashley, and that's all we got. Go out there and be intentional about your career moves. Let's go. All right, ladies, I know you've enjoyed this podcast, so now you can head on over to Instagram and follow Ashley at Ashley and Cash. You can check out her services and more information about her at www.ashleyandcash.com. When you're done with all that, head over to purposefullyguided.co and check out the Intentional Woman blog and the Intentional Teen blog if you're a teen listening in trying to become more productive and get ready for womanhood.
Thank you, ladies, and have a productive week. And I'll be seeing you ladies here back on the Woman Intentionally podcast in about 2 weeks. Let's go.